Welcome to the Potter's House Reynoldsburg Weekly Message. Our goal is to connect the hearts of sons and daughters to the heart of our Father. We pray that this podcast pulls you closer to Him. To learn more about the Potter's House, you can visit pottershouse.org.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 150. Psalms chapter 150. You don't understand it yet or get it. I believe that we are called to be a church of radical praise. I want to define radical for you, because you don't necessarily find the word radical in the scriptures. But the principle of radical, everybody say the principle of radical. The principle of radical is kind of what the Bible is written on. Here's the definition. Very different from the usual or traditional. That's it. Very different from the usual or the traditional. I look in the scriptures and I don't know that it's very usual or traditional for somebody to spit in mud and rub it on a blind man's eyes and for him to see. Jesus' entire ministry was based in radical. Don't know that it's usual for a man to walk by people in the streets and just their shadow would touch him and they would be whole. That's different from usual. I believe, and we're gonna walk through the scripture here that outlines how we are to praise. And then we're going to view those in the lens and through the filter of the word radical. You with me this morning? I need y'all to help me because I feel this deep inside of me. I want to read Psalm 150 and then we're going to jump in. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament, or the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs or flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. And let everything, everybody say everything. Everything. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I want to examine this passage of scripture, and I want to start first with the object of our praise. Everybody say the object of our praise. The object of our praise. Praise belongs to God. Praise and honor belong to Jesus. In the book of Psalms chapter 29 and verse 2, the Bible says, give unto the Lord the glory, do His name, and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. In the beauty of holiness. He is the only one. He is the one and the only. There is only one that is seated on the throne. And His name is Jesus, the King of Nations. We talked about Jesus last week, so I won't get too carried away unless I do again. He is the only one. In Revelation 4, John saw the throne and he said there was one. There's a lot of people that believe that there are many gods and many ways to God. No, there is only one. It is not Buddha. It is not Muhammad. It is not Allah. It is not any sort of animal that roams the streets of other nations that they worship. He is the one true living God. Allah is dead. Buddha is dead. Muhammad is dead. Every other god is an idol. There is a one living God. He is the one seated on the throne. He's the one and only. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 35 said, "The Lord, He is God, and there is none else beside Him." 1 Kings chapter 8 and 60 said that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else, or there is no other. Isaiah 45 and 5 said, "I am the Lord, and there is none else." There is none else. People that think they're gods, people that have little gods, there is none else. "There is no God beside me. I gird thee up, though thou hast not known me." In 9 times in the book of Isaiah, you find the phrase, "There is none else." Isaiah 2:11, "The Lord alone shall be exalted." Now, radical praise begins in our understanding of who God is. It begins in my understanding not only of who He is, but why He's worthy. Why He's worthy. There's a lot of people that lift hands and voices to a God they don't know. They lift their voices and their hands and they sing songs that our hearts, we sing songs that our hearts have no connection to. Praise is simply giving God His breath back. The reason that we sing that song, "It's Your Breath in Our Lungs," He gave it to us and we're just giving it back to Him. He is one and only. It starts with knowing He is God alone. Can you just say, "He is God alone"? And then we look, we see He's the object of our praise, and then we look at the location of our praise. Praise Him in His sanctuary. The sanctuary is defined as a sacred place or thing, consecrated, dedicated, or holy. And when you put line upon line and precept upon precept, you understand in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, "Know ye not that you are the sanctuary of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Can I stop right here and tell you, you are a walking, driving, mobile praise service. Come on. You don't need music. You don't need songs. You don't need keyboards. You don't need drums. You are a praise service in and all by yourself. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Not just here, but right here. When you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off. Y'all don't act too super religious. You know that there's not a praise on your lips when somebody does that. But when you're driving down the road and the enemy is attacking you with thoughts that are not from God and you don't know how you're going to make it, and the enemy is trying to trick you and deceive you into believing that God is not there, God is not real, you just put a praise on your lips and watch what begins to shift in the atmosphere. That's what He was talking about when He said praise Him in His sanctuary. He wasn't necessarily talking about here in this beautiful building that we worship in. He was talking about right here. You may not even be able to sing. You know that? You cannot be able to sing or have a good voice and still praise Him in the sanctuary. Then He said, praise Him in the firmament of His power. Firmament means the expanse, the visible arc of the sky or the heavens. Power means strength, might, or force. And I want to go to Psalm 148 for this point. Praise Him. One way you could say the firmament of His power, praise Him in the mighty heavens. Psalm 148, verse 1, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all of His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon, and all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. If we could listen in on heaven right now, what would we hear? If we could listen in on heaven, because He said, praise Him, mighty heavens. I'll tell you what we might hear. Revelation chapter 4 said, Verse 8 said, the four living creatures, each having six wings and full of eyes, do not rest day and night, and they sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. The original manuscript of Revelation chapter 4 details that we sing holy, holy, holy three times. But in the original manuscripts, the Bible has it in there nine times. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God. Oh, it's what the angels sing. It's their only response to what they are seeing. It's their only recourse to what they're looking at. That when they surround the throne, and you heard last week when we talked in Revelation 4 that John couldn't describe what he saw with man-like figures. He described what he saw as majestic, as emerald, as rubies, as rainbows. And so when you see that, the only thing you could say is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. Another portrait we see would be in the next chapter, in Revelation chapter 5. And the Bible said that I saw him that sat on the throne, and in his right hand was a scroll that was written on the inside and the back and sealed with seven seals. And the Bible said an angel came to John, and with a strong voice he cried out, who is worthy to open up the book, to open up the scroll and loose the seals thereof? And John said, I looked and I could find no one on earth, no one under the earth, and no one above the earth. And when I saw that, John said, when I saw that I couldn't find anybody worthy, he said, I wept much because there was none found worthy to open the scroll and loose the seals thereof. But the angel laid his hand on him and said, weep not, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David hath prevailed to open the scroll and loose the seals thereof. And John said, I looked and I beheld in the midst of the throne, in the four living creatures and the elders, I saw a lamb standing as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God to the churches. And the Bible said that he saw the lamb go and take the scroll out of the hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he took the scroll out of the hand who sat on the throne, the Bible said the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down and they worshiped, having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And the Bible said they sang a new song. See, when you see something you've never seen about him before, there's not a song that can sing about what you've seen. You got to write a new one. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you, Lord, for you were slain and have redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You have made us kings and priests unto God forever, and we will reign in the earth. And then John said, and then I heard the voice. It's like when you start praising, and when people start praising around you, you just can't help but get involved, because it started with the four living and the 24 elders. And when they sang the new song, the very next verse, John said, and I heard as it were the voice of many angels. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands. Thousands, and they sang a new song saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive blessing and honor and glory and power and might and dominion. And the living creatures and the elders shouted amen and amen, because praise him, mighty heavens. It's what the heavens were created for. So praise him. And he said, praise him, sun and moon. Why? We only give praise to something that is greater than we are. And if the sun and moon have to give him praise, he is brighter than the sun and moon. In John 8 and 12, the Bible said, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In Revelation 21, verse 23, we see a portrait of Jesus when the Bible said that the city they were in had no need of light, for the Lamb was the light, because he's brighter than sun and moon. Then he said, all you stars of light. Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Listen to this. The Milky Way has 4 billion stars. There are 100 billion galaxies as big as the Milky Way that we cannot see. And it is 6 billion miles across our solar system. And yet, in Psalm 147:4, he counts the number of stars and he calls them by their names. Praise him. Stars of light. When you look up in the heavens and the stars are twinkling, that's their simple act of praise as they show off the handiwork of God the Creator. When you see a shooting star flash across the sky, I'd like to think those stars are Pentecostal. They found a sanctuary to run in just to show off, come on, just to show off the handiwork of God. So we see the object of our praise, the location of our praise, and then the reason for our praise. Everybody say the reason. Number one, back to Psalm 50, he said, praise him for his mighty acts. Define, that means force, valor, victory, mastery, mighty acts of power. Has the Lord ever done a mighty act of power in your life? Come on. If and here's the deal. Now we're going to get into us. First, we talked about just him being God alone and he's worth it. And then we talked about creation, and if we sing a song, if the stars were made to worship, they don't even have a voice. But if the stars and the sun and the moon and the sky and the heavens were made to worship, then so will I. And so now, what is the reason for our praise? What is the reason for my praise? Number one, his acts of creation. Everywhere I look, I see a mighty act. When I look at you, I see a mighty act of creation. That God picked up a piece of dust. He didn't pick up dirt. He picked up dust, which is the particles of dirt. We weren't a solid piece of dirt. We were the dust from the dirt. Bible said he remembers my frame and that I was dust. So don't get too high on yourself. You aren't all that in a bag of chips. He picked up a piece of dust. It had no form. And he breathed on it. And he created. Out of his breath, he created his image. Genesis 1:1, we know it. In the beginning, God created the head. There wasn't a big bang. It's not been millions of years of evolution. It was the simple fact that God said, and when he speaks, it has to happen. God created. And Isaiah 45:12, I made, this is the Lord speaking, I made the earth and created man on it. It was my hands that stretched out the heavens and I commanded their host. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Revelation 4:11 said, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will, they existed and were created. The sun, the moon, the stars hang in orbit in the universe on nothing but his word. God did not put a physical string to hang them up there. They're simply hanging on the platform of his word. And if God were to say, sun, disappear, it would disappear. If God were to tell the moon to move over 3 feet, it'd have to move over 3 feet. They're still hanging on a word that God gave in the very beginning. And they will hang that way forever. When God spoke, so praise him for his mighty acts of creation. Number two, his acts of provision. Has God ever provided anything for you? I tell you, the more I preach this, the more worked up I'm getting on the inside. We're going to have a praise party when this thing is over, so. When money got funny, he was my provider. When the diagnosis from the doctor wasn't what I wanted, he provided healing. Come on, somebody. When I didn't know how, he knew. Philippians 4:19, and God will supply every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Psalm 34:10, the young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Psalm 145:15, the eyes of all look to you and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. I read in Psalm 37:25, I was once young, but now I'm old. And I have never, somebody shout never. Never. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. I've not just never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen their seed begging for bread. Come on. I've never even seen their children or their grandchildren have to beg God for anything because he's faithful. I read the book of Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21. The Bible said, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, for his compassion fails not, and they are new every morning. And great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And verse 24 said, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. If he's ever provided anything for you, will you just shout thank you right here in this moment, because we praise him for his acts of provision. And then we praise him for his acts of deliverance. He's a deliverer. Psalm 34:17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears. Just touch your neighbor and tell him the Lord hears. The Lord hears and delivers them out of all. Everybody shout all. Out of all of their troubles. Psalm 107:6, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble and he delivered them from their distress. Has the Lord ever delivered you? I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Far from wretched and broken deep within. But thank God, I serve a God of deliverance who would not let me just keep sinking. But when he saw me sinking, David said in Psalm 94:18, when my foot would slip, your mercy, O Lord, held me up. I think about somebody like Moses who was standing at the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army behind him and the Red Sea in front of him. And the Bible said the Lord told him, lift up your staff. And when he lifted up his staff, the wind began to blow and the sea split. And 2 million people walked across on dry land. And when they got to the end, God told Moses, turn around and look, because this is the last day that you'll ever have to see Pharaoh and this army. And when they turned around and looked, the sea collapsed on the army and they drowned. And then I think about somebody like Joshua who came up to Jericho, and before he encountered Jericho, he encountered Jesus. And the Bible said that he came. How many of y'all know, listen, before you ever encounter a battle, there is opportunity to encounter him. And when you encounter him, you know the battle's already won. And the Bible said he came up to the captain of the Lord's host and he said, are you on our side? What did he say? No. Again, what kind of answer to that question is that? Are you on our side? Are you for us? The question was, are you for us or are you against us? And the answer was no. And then he said, because I am the captain of angel armies. In other words, are you on my side? I am the captain of the Lord's host. Take off your shoes, for the ground on which you stand is holy. You know the rest of the story. Joshua went down to Jericho, obeyed the word of the Lord, and the walls came tumbling down. I don't think you understand the impossibilities of what I'm talking about. That wall that came tumbling down was thick enough to drive two chariots side by side on the top around the city. We're not talking about a piece of drywall. Come on. Not talking about a piece of plywood that's just leaning up against something and nailed into some studs. No. This was a wall made of rock that was big enough for two chariots to ride side by side in. Now, you want to talk about radical. Common sense would say, get you some hammers and start beating the mess out of the foundation of that thing. Radical says, I want you to march around it one time a day for 6 days. And on the seventh day, march around it 7 times and then shout. What? God thinks he's funny. Because if I'm Joshua, I'm thinking, Lord, you're just going to do this with our voices? We're going to get there in a minute. You're just going to do this with our shout? And they obeyed the word of the Lord, and the walls came tumbling down. Why? Because he's a deliverer. And then you read about David multiple times. You can read through the book of Psalms and read where David said, he delivered me out of all of my fears. When my enemies come pass me about, he delivered me because he's a deliverer. Come on. Have you ever been surrounded? Have you ever been surrounded? And God reached down his hand and said, no, 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 no. And delivered you out of all of your fear. He doesn't just deliver you when the money's not coming in. He delivers you when you're afraid of the future. He delivers you when you're afraid of the diagnosis. He delivers you when you're afraid that your children will never come back to the cross. He delivers you when you feel like life has thrown all it could on you and you can't go anywhere and have nowhere to go. He delivers you when you're in the lion's den like he did Daniel. Come on, he delivers you like Paul and Silas in the jail cell. You want to know what got them delivered? It was their praise that got them delivered, because when they praised and sang praises, suddenly there was an earthquake. So we praise him for his mighty acts. Then the next part said, praise him according to his excellent greatness. Those words together mean abundance, excellent, huge, stoutness. Praise him for his abundant stoutness, for his abundant magnitude. Pray, his excellent greatness. Just somebody shout, he's excellently great. He is excellently great. Isaiah 66 and 1, God was speaking to the children of Israel, and he said, the heavens are my throne, and the earth is my foot. How big does he have to be for the heavens to be his throne and the earth to be his footstool? Now look at your storm and ask yourself, how big is it really? Come on, look at your problem and ask yourself, how big is it really? Praise him according to his excellent greatness, that the heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool. And then I read in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and 8, he said the same thing again. The heavens are my throne and the earth is my footstool. And then a little later on in 1 Samuel chapter 2, the Bible said he is the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Come on. How big is God? I think we have shrunk God into this tiny understanding that we are, you know, well, God, you know, I thank you. I thank you for providing this and that. I thank you for giving me a house to live in and shoes to walk in and a car to drive. And you should thank him for that. But then, when the doctor says something you don't want him to say, or your children are out losing their mind, or your family is in shambles, or your job situation is changing and has changed and is shifting, well, God, where are you? What are you doing? Where are you? Don't act religious. You've been there. You've done it. Why are we so fearful when the pillars of the earth are the Lord's and he has set the world upon them? Why are we afraid when the heavens are his throne? He rules the nations from the heavens, which are his throne, and the earth is his. He props up his feet on the planet we live on. Why are we afraid? Are you with me this morning? Are you ready to praise yet? That's my question. If you're not, hold on with me. Revelation 1 and 8, Jesus said, I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the first and the last. Somebody just received that revelation this morning. I'm the first. I was there before it began. And when it's over, I'll still be here. I'm the first and the last. He that lives, he that is and was and is to come. John said in Revelation 1:17, he said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like dead. And he laid his hand on me. What did he say? I'm the first and the last. I am he that was dead, but behold, I'm alive. You got my keys still? Let me see them. I'm he that was dead and alive. And now I've got the keys. Come on. I've got the keys. You know what keys mean? It means you're in a place of authority. And then in Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. I am the first and the last, he that was dead and now lives. And I've got the keys of death. I got the keys of death. Death can do nothing unless I unlock it. Come on. Death has no reign unless I put the key in and let it out. The keys of death. He said, I've got the keys to hell. I've got the keys to hell. I love Jesus. Because I could see him telling John this. Saying, looky, looky. The devil can't even let himself out of his room. The devil can't even let himself out of his own room. Because I got the keys of hell. And then he said, I got the keys of death. I've got the keys of hell. And I got the keys to the grave. Oh, Jesus. He's alive. And he's got the keys to the grave. That's why he got out. Come on. That's why he got up. That's why the stone rolled away. Because he's got the keys to death. He's got the keys of hell. And he's got the keys to the grave. He's got the keys. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. So now we've established why. Jesus, help me. Now let's establish how. The methods of our praise. This is where praise gets radical. Radical praise, again, starts in our understanding of who God is and why he's worthy. I just outlined who he is. and I just outlined why he's worthy. Now let's talk about what we can do to bring him praise because of that. Come on. He said, the first thing we do, the method, let's start with our hands. Let's just start with our hands. Psalm 147:1. Oh, clap your hands. Oh, clap your hands. Now, some people say, well, why do we do that? Well, sometimes you just clap your hands to the beat and you just do it. But when something gets attached inside of you, that the clapping of your hands is actually doing something in the atmosphere, you don't just clap with a beat anymore. With the clapping of our hands, we crown him king. Come on, we crown. When the king would ride in on a donkey, or a king would come in procession after he's won a victory, the people would clap their hands to crown him king, because he is king over all. Clapping confuses the enemy. When Gideon took his men down and they got pots and pans and torches, and God said, I want you to smash the pots, smash the pans, clap your hands, and light the torches. What happened when they did all that? The Bible said in the camp, the enemy began to turn on itself. Come on. With the clapping of our hands, we confuse the enemy. Number two, with the lifting of our hands. 1 Timothy 2:8 said, I will therefore that men pray. It means to pray or worship. Everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Would the men everywhere would lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Then we, let's move down. Move to our feet. Move to our feet. And another thing with your hands is that when they would come through a city, or they would go through going into war, they would send the praisers out first. And the praisers would have banners, flags, and they would wave them back and forth, singing, the Lord is our banner. Jehovah Nissi, his banner over me is victory. Come on. His banner. So with your hands, you don't just clap and lift, but with your hands, you can wave your flags. Come on. Some of you may look at some of our flag wavers in here and be like, they are crazy. No, they're just doing what the Bible said. Then, dancing. I know that makes some people nervous. Psalm 149:3, let them praise his name with dancing. 2 Samuel 6:14, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And you want to know radical? And David was wearing a linen ephod. Now, don't get crazy. Don't get crazy. But let me tell you something here. That's radical. That's different than usual. That's somebody who does not care, who's looking, who's watching. Do you want to know where that scripture is taken from? It's taken from when the children of Israel brought the presence of God back into the camp, and every six paces, David would stop and he would dance in his linen ephod. He would just cut a rug just right there in the dirt. And the Bible said that Michael, his wife, was staring out of the window. And when she got to him, she said, you fool, what kind of king would act like that? She didn't understand. She had no clue. And the consequence of her judgment on David was that she did not get to enjoy the spoils of the presence of God. Come on. You could sit out there and see people dancing and praising and worshiping, and you can judge them, but you're going to miss out on the presence when it comes sweeping through. Dancing. And then our hands, our feet, and then our voices. Amen. Psalm 132, 9. Let your priests be clothed with righteousness, and your saints shout for joy. Again, Psalm 47:1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. James and Scott, come here. Shout. That word shout, I just want you guys to stand shoulder to shoulder right there and face out. Shoulder to shoulder and face out. That word shout means to split with sound. The Lord spoke to me while I was studying, and he asked me, he said, why do we weep behind what we could split? Because here's what we do. We got sickness standing in front of us. Disease standing in front of us. Pain standing in front of us. Depression, oppression. And here's what we do. God doesn't understand anything I'm going through. You know you've been there. God's nowhere near a million miles of where I'm at. He doesn't get it. I'm going to die here. And we weep behind what we have the power to split wide open. You got to make a decision. I'm not going to just sit here and weep till I die. You know what the devil is not expecting you to do this morning? He is not expecting you to get up and shout. Because you've been weeping. What happens when sons and daughters say, enough weeping? He has given me the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And you stand up and your depression is shoulder to shoulder and it's right in front of you. Thank you, Jesus. And you walk on through and you come back here. Come back here. And you're standing right there and there's sickness in front of you. And you don't know how. Thank you, Jesus, that I'm healed and whole. And you walk on through and you come back. Come back. Then you got them shoulder to shoulder again. God, I don't know how my children are going to get saved. I don't know how you did it. But I know that you are the salvation of Israel. Your eye is on the sparrow and surely your eye is on my children. And now all of a sudden, what was blocking you from moving forward has been split. So clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. With a voice of victory. Not a voice of defeat. Not a voice of shame and despair. But with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. So whatever you do, you can dance, you can run, you can shout, you can sing, you can spin, you can flag. But whatever you do, praise the Lord. Praise Him in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Hey! Oh, come on and shout! I dare you to lift up a shout of triumph in this room. I dare you! I dare you! My God. I feel like everybody knows that last verse said, let everything, the half breath. Praise the Lord. But I want to say two more things. Stay standing. I'm not going to be long. James, come back here. I just want you to stand right there. Some of you, Psalm 8 and 2, the Bible said, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings have I ordained praise that you might still the avenger, that you might silence the avenger. Just come out here. Some of you live a life, just follow me everywhere I go. Everywhere you go, that enemy's just right on top of you. That sickness, that disease, we're going to turn this way. That pain, that depression, that oppression. Watch what happens. I just want you to follow me, but when I start praising, I want you to stop. You just keep walking, and one day you just decide, I'm sick of this. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever, and his truth endures. And now look what's happened. What was once on you has stayed still because it can't follow praise. It can't be connected to somebody who has put a praise on their lips. And then lastly, everybody say Judah. Judah. How many of y'all know what Judah means? Judah means praise. It's why powerful when Revelation 5 and 5 said he's the lion of the tribe of Judah. What's the lion in the forest? He's the king. He is the king of the tribe of Judah. You know, last week we talked about seeing his throne engulfed in emerald. I was in the parking lot, say Tuesday night, and Jenny Ratliff came up to me, got me all fired up again. She said, did you know that the jewel of the tribe of Judah is the emerald stone? I don't know if y'all connect here. But when John saw his throne engulfed in emerald, what he saw was a king that sat among the praises of the nations. Come on. Everybody shout Judah one more time. Hosea 10:11. Judah shall plow. I'm going to just shout Judah plows. Judah plows. Judah plows up the fallow ground. Praise plows. Even when I don't feel it, praise plows. Even when the ground that I'm plowing is hard as rock, praise plows. And it breaks up the fallow ground. And all of a sudden, all of a sudden, that ground that I couldn't plant a seed in is now ready for a seed. And now because I've planted the seed and I put a praise on it, God can bring to fruition the seed that I've... Judah plows. Come on. Judah plows. Even when I don't feel it. Even when my heart says, you have no reason to praise. Even when the devil gets up close to me and says, you know I'm still on your tail. You know, Judah plows. And Judah stops the enemy in his tracks. It doesn't just still him. It shuts him up. Because even from a distance, the enemy can talk. But when you put a praise on your lips, the devil has no room to say nothing. Somebody shout again, Judah plows. Judah plows. Talk about plowing. The Bible said when, in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elisha was in the field. What was he doing? He was plowing. He was and Elijah came by. And he, can you come plow for me? I don't know, do you know how to plow? All right, come plow. Just plow back and forth. That's right. Elisha's in the field plowing. Because Judah plows. And the Bible said Elijah came by and saw him plowing. And he reached out and he just threw his mantle on him. You can take it off the head. He threw his mantle on him. Because when praise plows, the mantle of the Holy Ghost falls on a people who have a praise on their lips. And the Bible said in Isaiah 10 and 7 that the anointing will break the yoke of bondage. Judah plows. I can't get past that now. Judah plows. And when you're plowing, there's a mantle. There's a mantle. So this morning, band, you guys can come. This morning, I don't know how long we're going to go. I know what time it is. But this morning, if you say, I make a decision that I will let Judah plow, that Judah will plow in me, through me. You say, I'm going to give myself to praise. I'm going to give myself to very different from usual praise. I want you to get out from where you're standing and come to the altar quick. Come quickly. Come quickly. We're going to have a praise party right down here.